welcome with me Dori Mindrian this morning.
It's so good to be here this morning. I just thank you, Tony and Trish, for inviting me, giving me this opportunity. We were singing Let It Rain, Let It Rain, and I just thought, you know, pretend I have a rosebud. I don't have a rosebud, do I? I looked. Is there one in there?
We have 12 roses in there.
But there's no bud.
Okay.
Okay, let me tell you about a rosebud. As I was just singing that song, I thought, let it rain. And you know what? That's how we're changed. We're changed as God's rain of his love and as the sunshine of his love flows on us, we all get changed. We get changed in his presence. Sometime I think we ought to go home after worship. You will be changed in worship because in his presence, there is life, there is change. And you know, if we had a rosebud, and a lot of us do this in our daily life. I think, oh, I wish this rose would open. It just is so closed and so tight. I think I'll take a petal and open this rose up. You want to take a petal of this rose? Tony, you broke it. Shoot. I don't care. I want my husband to change. I'm going to change him and have him open up to a beautiful rose. You want to take a petal and just try to open it and get this rose open? He broke it. We break one another when we try to open one another and change one another. So you know what? All we want to do is just sit in the love of God. And in his presence, there is change. Oh, he is so wonderful. I'm telling you, God is so awesome, and we need to know the meaning of a lot of this stuff. When people in churches will say, may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, amen. And you look at that and you say, big deal, so we heard that forever. But you know what? You think about it. What is the love of God? Hokey smokes, man. Think about the love of God. He loves you so much. Not that you loved him, but he loves you so much. He loves you before, while you were a sinner doing just crazy stuff. He died for you. None of your works, none of your stuff, none of your righteousness. He calls that filthy rags. And then he washes all that away with his blood. And then we say, people, get the love of God. Receive it. It's a supply that will never run dry. And then we say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man would boast. So there is nothing you can do to be saved. He did it all, and all you have to do is receive it. And I think of the Old Testament, before I go there, let's finish that. No, let's go there. Old Testament, where they came, they had to give an ox or whatever, a bullock or something every year to the high priest. And here comes this little man with his little goat or something. And he came, and the high priest goes through that little thing to be sure he's got a perfect sacrifice. And then he doesn't even ask the guy what he did. He just tells the guy to lay his sins on that sheep. So he lays his hand on the head of that sheep and gives all the sins to that sheep. And that sheep becomes sin for him. And the guy stands there. They take the sheep off and the sheep gets all burned up. And this guy is left with righteousness. Yeah, how many times don't we just say, oh, man, you know, I feel so guilty. This thing is in my past, and I don't know how I can ever get rid of that and whatever. What? Jesus died once for all. It is all paid for, and we need to know it because Satan comes with condemnation and guilt, and he tries to make you guilty forever. But condemnation are his tools, not God's. God gives us grace and gives us forgiveness. And so you have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. He gives it all. And sometimes I think, you know, sometimes when people say, no, I think he paid for everything but this one sin. You know, nobody even knows I did it. I don't know if he paid for that one. So you go through life with some guilt. You know what I got thinking the other day? You may as well go back to the old covenant. Then you can go once a year and feel clean for a day. No, he did it. It says once for all, and he did it. Then we say the communion of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. I'll give you the best illustration of this. I had a 96-year-old stepmother, and one day we were at lunch, and she had moved from her home to a retirement place. And I said, man, Grandma, aren't you just lonely over there? And she's eating her soup, and she looks at me over glasses. She says, why, no, I have the communion of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh, all right then. She has the communion of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit would talk to her all the time. She'd cry out to God. She would cry out, and God would hear her. Holy Spirit would answer her. She'd talk to the Holy Spirit because the Word says, I know His voice. He knows my voice. You see, we are like sheep. When we hurt, He takes us, and there's a verse in John that says He throws you over His shoulder, and He carries you. He loves you so much, and it says, my sheep know my voice. So when you leave here this week, you are not alone. I'm not going home with you to tell you things to do. Tony's not going home with you, unless you offer him food, then he might. So he goes home with you, and he's the only one you got. We're not going to be there. So the Holy Spirit is going to be there to talk to you and tell you what to do. This week, I mean, I just believe in God being in every part of our daily life. When I speak, I always want to speak about daily life. Because you got to make it this week. We all do. And if I'm going to sit here and tell you statistics about Russia or something, you're never going to be helped. And so today we're going to talk about daily living and how do we make it in daily living. Psalm 37:23 in the New Living says, He delights in every detail of my life. He directs the steps of the godly. Grandma would cry out. She'd say, something's wrong here. God, send me somebody. One time my husband was coming home from Traverse City, probably from a meeting, and he's on the highway and he's getting a feeling, I better stop off at the cottage. Now there's the Holy Spirit responding to her cry. And so he gets off, goes to the cottage, and stands there and looks down, and the wind had busted the dock apart. And she and my dad were in the water, and she simply looks up to the hill and says, thank you, there he is. I mean, she expected it. He delights in every detail of my life. Then we put her in a nursing home in Kalamazoo, and we'd go, and she'd say, oh, there you are. I asked the Father for someone from Grand Rapids to come today. Come on, this is daily living. Last week, we have my dad, he passed away, and we have his, what I thought was a grandfather's clock. And we had offered it to all the kids, to the cousins. Nobody wanted the thing. It's gorgeous. And I'm going to just put my head back for a minute. And Holy Spirit says to me, call Teresa and tell her you have that grandfather clock. I thought, I already did. So you see, the voice of the Holy Spirit doesn't always have to make a lot of sense. You just do it. And that's where we need to learn how to obey. We do hear His voice. And some of you might say, I don't hear His voice. Yes, you do hear His voice. And so he's saying, just call her. So I texted her. And I just said, hey, I got a grandfather's clock if you're interested or anything. She wrote back, I can't believe it. I have been looking for a grandmother's clock, and I just found one in Kansas, and I'm going to have to ship it here for $700. I don't know if I want to do that. She said, take a picture of it. So I took a picture of it. She says, that's exactly what I want. It's a grandmother's clock. I didn't know the difference. Grandmothers are skinny and grandfathers are fat. I didn't know that. Anyway, so it was a... I think that's a pretty rotten, well, no, it's okay. But anyway, I had the grandmother's clock that she was wanting. If I would have missed the voice of the Holy Spirit, she'd have gotten the one from Kansas, missed the heirloom effect. And people, I'm telling you what, when somebody says, may the love of God and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing all your sins are forgiven, you live in victory, you live in blood washed, it's wonderful. You live in joy, you live in peace, you live in happiness. You tell the enemy to get lost with all of his condemnation and stuff. It is so good. And then the communion of the Holy Spirit. Say, yes, I can walk out of here today and I got a best friend. A best friend is going to be able to talk to me all week, and he's going to be able to instruct me. He's going to be able to guide me. He's going to give me wisdom. But remember to cry out to him, because he is there waiting to give it. And so I pray everybody today will be changed or refreshed in his presence. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to come here if I wasn't changed or refreshed in his presence. I just soon stay home and wash, or you guys might want to clean the garage, something. It has to count. It has to count. And women, happy Mother's Day. You got to know how special you are. Mothers, you are special. You really are. You are in an important place in your home. You're like a thermostat to your family. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. You change the atmosphere in your house. You influence the whole family. And so, you know, I look at that. You're so important to those around you. And so my head goes, okay, how do we get mama happy? How do we get mama healed on the inside? How do we get mama not having inferiority, insecurity, whatever? So I'm just going to share a few things with you today. And what an honor and a privilege to share children who are going to live forever, eternity. The stuff of this world just goes boop, but these little lives are going to live forever. My little six-year-old grandchild, Grandma, let's pray. Grandma, let's pray for the president. Grandma, while I go to sleep, I was telling him what she did to me. For Christmas, I asked all the grandkids to memorize Psalm 91, and that was my present. And so they memorized it. And so this one night, I'm putting her to bed, and I'm saying Psalm 91 to her, and I got mixed up, maybe around the fourth or fifth verse. She lays there, she says, Grandma, perhaps you ought to do a different one that you know. Hello. She learned it for Christmas, and now she knows it better than I do. She's just do that shepherd one, Grandma. That's okay. But you know what? Moms, you got so much influence in that house. Grandmas, you've got so much influence to let those kids and grandkids know you're loved. You have such a high calling. Just know that Ephesians 3:20 says that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly, above all you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Y'all got power inside you. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you've got power, and you go around and you change lives. Another thing, illustrations, I guess, help. But I retired from church, and I don't go anymore. No, I retired from director of women's ministry. I still go. And I just thought, God, you know, you just direct my steps. One day I got a call from a lady, and she's, hi, you don't know me. I work over at this hotel, and somebody in the hotel told her she should talk to me. Okay, I met her at a restaurant. Get this. Talk about God said he gives us exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. We sat in this restaurant. This little gal got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, got delivered. And the best thing of all, here comes this waiter. I mean, you could feel the power of God in that booth. Here comes the waiter. He comes and he leans over and he says, can you tell me how not to keep going back to the same sin all the time? What? Does that make any sense at all? No, it's the power of God. We are light to this world. We are salt to this earth. We don't even know what's going on. And it's just great. When Gary and I go in that restaurant, this kid always comes over and talks to us. Says, I'm doing so well. I'm doing so well. I didn't ask for him to come. The light that you are, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life makes a difference. You go out on your motorcycles with your friends, the light that's in you makes a difference. You change things. You have influence. So I just was thinking about how women can enjoy being a mother. You know, the Bible says, be a happy mother of children. Just accept them as they are. Hey, you got a 12-year-old. So, hey, were you? I don't like 12-year-olds. Will you act like an adult? You know, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, tell them what they can do. Tell them who they are. Tell them how great they are. So I think maybe there's some women here who might be a little tired, and you need some strength today. Expect God to give that to you. You might need wisdom as to how to handle one of your children. Ask him. He'll give it to you. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. Somebody might feel guilty for working outside the home. Why? Who said what? Think about it. Someone might be sick and nobody even knows it. Maybe you're hurting, but you don't have anybody you trust enough to share it with. Maybe you just find yourself complaining every day instead of being happy and enjoying life. Some are full of anxiety and panic. And you know what anxiety is? Envisioning the future without God in it. Yeah. If we have all anxiety about the future, we must be envisioning the future without God there. He's always going to be with you. He's never going to leave you. Never, never, never. I just pray that you open your hearts to receive. And would you picture something? In Mark 10, it talks about Bartimaeus, the blind man. And it says Jesus came to where he was and he stood in front of him. Now, he can't see me, but he stopped. Could you picture him stopping, standing in front of you today, saying, Trish, what would you that I would do? What would you that I would do? Where is the area that's a little problem that he would say, what is it that you would have me do? And he healed him, and he could see. So just picture him standing in front of you this morning. The scripture answers what love is. Now, if somebody said to you, what is love? I think I'd say, oh, that I can love you, love people. Let the love of God flow through me to you. But do you know what? This is so good. 1 John 4:10. It says, what is love? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. All started with him. And then in verse 18, in that same chapter, it says that perfect love casts out fear. So your anxiety can be gone. His perfect love casts out fear. He's going to be with you now and in the future. You got to know you're a treasured possession. Oh, don't ever feel less than. You're a treasured possession. You are important and valuable to God. He needs you. He wants to lead you in paths of righteousness for what? His name's sake, not your own. You're a love letter to those around you. You know, the Bible says that the world reads us. It's a privilege to have God's love flow through you, especially mothers. It's a privilege to have God's love flow through you to your children, flow out to others. What are you pregnant with? When the angel came to Mary, said, you're going to bear a son, call his name Jesus. She got pregnant and she delivered. We get pregnant with things. And what we're pregnant with, we deliver. Are you pregnant with the word of God? Are you pregnant with his love so that you will deliver that to your children and to those around you? When you get pregnant, you deliver. And what did Mary say? Be it unto me according to your word. So when you hear scripture that might apply to your life today, be it unto me, God, according to your word. You can only impart what you have inside you. If you don't have any of the word inside you, you can't impart it to anybody. If you get in the word in the morning, guaranteed, God will give you verses that will help other people throughout that day. It's totally amazing. He's very active in your life. And you know, it's so good, moms, you get to live life in front of your children. They're watching you, and they're learning who to turn to when they have needs and when they have problems, and where you go for wisdom and for guidance. So plant seeds of love in your kids. Desire what's best for them. Be like that stick by a tomato plant, so you just kind of help them grow. They have feelings. They're not just children. Get out of here. You don't need to be seen. No, they have feelings. They need your help. A 12-year-old's going to act like a 12-year-old. Don't say, oh, next year my kid's going to be 13, a teenager. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's not even true. You do know what you're going to do. You've got the Holy Spirit to lead you. That kid at 13 needs you more probably than any other time. So don't talk like with a whirler. When you're 18, man, you're out of this house. Oh, doesn't that kid want anybody to talk to anymore? Does he not want some kind of guidance? I want a guidance at 50. And now, how many years later, I still do. A lot. So, remember, your kids need your help no matter what age. Don't talk world talk, because our mouth creates. If you have older children, married children, be their cheerleader. Tell them they're going to make it. Tell them to depend on the anointing of the Spirit. Give them answers like that. We have a couple boys who have played in the worship team from age 11, and now one's 43 and 38 or something, and they still play. Well, one of them said a few weeks ago, he says, oh, man, we switched to all digital, and he says, the songs are so hard for Sunday. And so I just wrote back and said, what about the anointing? It will help you. It will do it through you. And so give encouragement to the older children that we have. And I always write, I text during church. I hide it under the bulletin, though, or something. And from Gary, because he doesn't like it. And so I text and tell him, good job. And in a few minutes, it comes back, thanks. So you know what? You like to be loved. You like to be secure. There's no age that stops. That's right. And so you just keep pouring it out to your kids. Moms, no one else can be you. You can't be anybody else. So celebrate who you are. Celebrate your personalities. Enjoy what God's given you, because you're the best person to do what God has given you to do. You're God's workmanship, right? For good works. You're one of a kind. You're a masterpiece. You never get to live today over. Never. So you might as well shape up the attitude and live it right. Really. We were over at our kids the other day, and my daughter-in-law just had this gloomy face, and she was headed somewhere, and I stuck my head in the bathroom where she was combing her hair, and I said, you never get to go to that place again after tonight. You may as well shape up. She takes it from me. She even texted and wished me a happy Mother's Day, and then she called and said, let me pray for you. You know what? Get relationships that are real, where you can help one another and you can talk to one another and you can accept one another. Oh, yes. You know, women, you got so much. Romans 14, 19 says, follow after things that make for peace and that edifies one another. Somebody a touch. You know what? Guaranteed. I walk by you and I touch you on your shoulder, you felt it. There's something that happens when you touch someone. Dare to touch someone on a shoulder. Shake hands. Hold their hand. Just smile at them. Encourage them. Tell them they're great. Tell them they look good. Just encourage. Edify one another. Life goes by so fast. And we want to do what's important for one another. You know what? If you got some good words you need to say to somebody today, say them today while you're alive. It's hard to talk when you're dead. Really. And so, It just say them. If you need to say something to your mother and she doesn't even live in this city, call her and say it. If you need to say something to your husband, to your kids, say it. It's got to be said. You be bold about it. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly into the throne room of grace and obtain some mercy and grace and help in the time of need. And God will help you do that stuff. He says in Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen you and I will help you. And just remember, life is like a coin. You can spend it however you want, but you can only spend it once. You can spend it however you want, but you just live today once. We live this minute once. Just want you to know how worthwhile you are, how valued you are. We honor and esteem you women. And we honor and esteem the men, too, because God told us to. It's the only reason. We just want to be obedient to God. No. 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 Girls, you submit to that man. You always. That's when you stay the happiest. Really. I submit because that's what God says to do. And so it's cool. I get a lot of words from the Lord, and I remember I thought I had one this time, and I wrote it in a letter, and I said to Gary, I said, listen to this. I'm going to send this to this guy. And he looked at me and said, throw it in the wastebasket. So I threw it in the wastebasket. His problem, not mine. No, really. He's my protector. So I thought it was from the Lord and thought it was good. If he didn't, it has to pass past him first. And so I didn't mean to go there on Mother's Day, mothers. But anyway, you know, you do honor and you respect your husbands. That's part of value. You value them, they value you. You honor, you esteem them, you admire them, you're courteous. God values us. He looks at you and values you. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. How about Jesus knows me, this I love? Turn it around. Jesus knows me, this I love. Feels good to have value. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, you are accepted in the beloved. God accepts you, but he accepts you in Jesus, and it says, praise the glory of his grace. And before we said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise that glory of that grace. It's marvelous. That's why we're accepted in the beloved. Feels so good to be accepted. You know what? What anyone says doesn't make you not valuable. Other people don't determine your worth. And I think sometime we have had you know, we read the word and we say, oh, yeah, yeah, but I don't feel that way. And, you know, my mother told me I'd never amount to anything. My dad said I was no good. It was just so awful. So when he says you're accepted in the beloved, you see this. This is a Bible. Somebody said to me, how rude. Dory, why do you scribble all over the word? I said, well, that's what we do in life. This isn't true. My mother told me something different. My dad told me this. My friend told me this. The last boyfriend I had told me this. So that can't be right. I'm just going to scribble out the word and believe what they said. Don't be directed by other people's words unless they match the word of God. We're all made different. You got to appreciate the differences. You know, you can't be envious and jealous of one another. Because if you want to be, oh, I want to be like her, so I'll be in her shoes. And what's going to happen when somebody needs you? Your shoes are empty. God put you here for a reason. Somebody needs you. They need you. You look at the flowers. You have tulips, roses, all these different flowers, and even tulips, all different colors. You look at birds. They all look different. They all have a different song, for crying out loud. Isn't that something? The snowflakes, which I was sad to see when I came up here. But they're all different. Yesterday, they were so big. They were laying on Gary's jacket, and it was just huge. I wanted to just take a picture of them. But anyway, God gifted you in a certain area, and He wouldn't have you dedicate your life to something that you have no talent for. He's got a certain thing for you to do. Can you imagine God saying, okay, now I want you to go to work every day and hate every minute of it? No. He's got giftings for each one of us, and we have to flow in those giftings. You know what you can do. No matter, it's His love and His pouring through you. So do what God made you to do. And then women especially have a tendency to compare. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, we don't dare to compare ourselves because then we're unwise. You see, no one's made alike, so you can't compare people. If you get two pairs, maybe you can compare those because they're alike. You can say, well, this one has a brown spot on, this one does not. But we can't compare people. That's unwise because we were never made the same in the first place, and you can only compare something that's really alike. And if you compare, you might make you make choices that you really didn't want to make. You don't just jump and do what everybody else is doing. You let the Holy Spirit direct you. Know His voice. He wants an intimate relationship with you. Know that you're making a difference where you live today. When you pray in your closet, it says you're going to be rewarded openly. Pray about everything. You're an instrument of His love to flow through. You know why? 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have a treasure inside us. That's Him. That the excellency of His power may be of God and not of us. It's not of us. It's the excellency of the power of Him because of the treasure that's inside us. So don't let anything else keep you from a love relationship with your Father. Moms, your hands are His hands to love those kids. And if you have little kids, you're in a seed sowing time. And it takes a lot of giving before you see the reaping. But it will, you will reap it. I love Isaiah 54:17. We always say, no weapon formed against you will prosper. The words that have been spoken, you condemn them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. But you know what the rest of that verse is? Look at that. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Say, look, you're not going to walk around condemning me because God isn't. God loves me, and the righteousness that I have was a free gift, and He put it inside there, and that righteousness is of Him, and you can't take that away.
That's right.
So just remember that part of the verse, because we kind of miss that sometime. John 14:16 says that He will send you a comforter or another friend, and so you'll always have someone with you. You're never alone. Just like Grandma, no, I have the communion of the Holy Spirit. I said, was it hard to leave your house? She says, I closed the door. I thought, whoa, okay then. It gives you an idea how wonderful she was. And now she just was like this, wow. Okay, so we choose to tune into God. We choose to tune into the Holy Spirit. We were talking last night. I said, man, the body of Christ needs each other. I ought to hear, if you're in a deep time of sorrow or something, I ought to hear that from the Holy Spirit and be able to text you and say, don't know what it is, but God laid you on my heart and I've been praying for you. We need to support the body, edify the body, and be able to communicate to one another and not just be tuned in to ourselves. Then a precious verse, Psalm 55:22. No matter what your problem is, people, or what my problem is, this is what we need to do. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. You cast your burden on the Lord, He will sustain you. Sustain means guide you. He will hold you. He will be present. He will make provision. He will provide and sustenance. That's Hebrew. All those words that he will be for you. Okay, then you know 1 Peter 5:7 says cast again. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Could we have that in Amplified? Do you happen to have that? 1 Peter 5:7 is so cool. No, that isn't the one, is it? Let me see what that is. Yeah, that's it. Casting the whole of your care. Now, this is something we have to do. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. You got any worries, anxieties, or concerns? Once and for all on him, because he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Okay, so I said one day, God, how do I cast care? You got to teach me because I'm not doing it. So I saw a little girl, and she was throwing a frisbee, and she'd throw it a little ways, and she'd pick it up. She'd throw it again, and she'd go and pick it up. And she'd throw it again, pick it up. And I said, God, what is that? He said, that's you. And I said, she's stupid. I mean, this was stupid. When you play frisbee, you play with somebody. Come on, fella. All right. That's what we do. When it says cast, we got to do something. So we're going to cast all the care on him, knowing he's going to catch it. And then I can go rejoicing, be full of joy. I know he's answering it because I did the verse. I cast that care. And then I can be aware when he's going to throw the answer back. And then I catch it. So don't forget to cast your care, all of your anxieties. You'll get some this week. All of your worries. You probably got some. All of your concerns. Sure, we all do. Once and for all. So I'm not going to go and cast it in prayer, and then I'm going to go pick it up all the time. I'm going to cast it to say, God, thank you. Thank you that you told me that I could cast it there, and you're going to catch it, and you're going to take care of me. You can take this frisbee or this problem and hold on to it, talk about it, call your family and your friends, think about it, focus on it, make it more significant so it can give you more pain, because the more I talk about it, the bigger I make it, and then it causes me more pain, but it's because of my focus. So we need to make an effort to cast. When he says to release a care or a worry, we need to do that and submit to the word. Be it unto me according to your word. Then Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, if be anxious about nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. When you make a request, always put thanksgiving with it. That lets you know that you're believing him and you've got faith for it. Don't miss what God has for you today. Sometimes people live in the past. So I took my baby doll along, and I'm going to take her diaper off. Oh, it's awful. It's a dirty one. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to hold it here. I'm just going to keep this here. I know I'm supposed to do something else with it, but I think I'm going to carry this along because I've carried it so long everybody recognizes me. They all know about my problems. They all know what I've held on from the past. They all know what I haven't forgiven because I talk about it all the time. And so it's become part of my identity. And so I want to hold this dirty thing with me. I know that I can flip it out and I can throw it in the garbage, but I'm not sure I want to put it there. It wasn't fair what they did. And so I'm going to carry this with me. I'm not giving it up. Oh, I've been to counselor after counselor after counselor. I'm not going to give it up. That was really unfair. And so we carry this thing, and guess what we do? We stumble over something behind us. Don't stumble over something behind you. Take care of it, because God's made provision to take care of it, to forgive, to let it go, to bless so that we can be blessed. It's up to me how long I want to carry a hurt. Some of you might be carrying something that happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Whoa, those are a lot of days ruined in between here and there. So we want to be sure that we do forgive and that we do 1 Peter 3:9 and bless that person so we can be blessed. It is up to us what we do. And you know what? The big thing is our thoughts. That's how we hold on to stuff. So I brought my thought with me. Here's my thought. When I start thinking in the morning while I'm loading the dishwasher or whatever, I'm ticked about some stuff, and I'm thinking about some stuff, and wondering why that person said that to me, and I'm going to go, so here goes the thought. My head is rolling, and the thought goes down. And guess what I'm doing? My emotions are following this. As long as I think this, I have emotions that are going to trigger. I have a mouth that's going to start talking if I follow that thought. So you want to watch when you have a thought. Do you want to follow that thought and have that emotion follow? Because my thought life is the gateway to my life. It starts there. Our real life begins in our head. You didn't do something without thinking about it for a while. But it's going to direct your emotions. And then what you do. That's why Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to renew that mind. It's a domino effect. It starts in our head. But he says, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So it's up to us to take a hold of that thought. My head is not my master. It is my servant. You can't just say, I can't help it. That's just what I'm thinking. No, it's not your master. It's your servant. You tell it what it's going to think. You tell it what the word says. Your life will change when you agree with the word of God, because Satan comes to our mind with thoughts. He wants us to believe his thoughts. Why? So we say them with our mouth. He can't bring them to pass without us creating it for him. So we agree with him with our mouth. He wants to use my mouth to produce something, because words direct our way. Man, do I want him to bring things to pass because of my mouth? I always stop to think everything I say, I think, whoa, blech, what could that bring forth? We need to resist those thoughts. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Thoughts, so important. I don't know, we all have been hurt somehow by a parent, maybe somebody in leadership, maybe a pastor. Maybe a leader in the community. Maybe a school teacher. So how do you handle that? Are you quick to forgive? Or you want to say, well, that wasn't fair. That's wrong. That's selfish. That's greedy. That's mean. Yeah, it is all those things. But we have to work through that stuff and begin to forgive. How much will you let someone else's actions affect you? Am I going to let everything Tony says to me today direct my life? If he says all nice things, I will. But if he comes up with anything bad, I'll listen to the Holy Spirit now. So don't let these hurts direct your attitude. It'll make you a really unhappy mother, and it will make you get unhappy with your kids. Don't let someone else's words decide where you will go or what you will do. Oh, I should go to that reunion, but I don't want to go to that reunion because Tom is there. Okay, Tom, direct my way. Does the Holy Spirit say you should go? Maybe he wants to use you to love someone. So don't let another person that has hurt you and said things to you opposite of the Word of God and what God thinks about you, don't let them ruin your life. Forgive and believe what the Word says. Fill your mind with the Word of God, because you know what? There's a lot of different thoughts. There's consuming thoughts that they come at night and I can't sleep, or unrelenting thoughts. And then some of you might have private thoughts that nobody knows. They may be lust or fear or anger or sorrow, hopelessness. Private thoughts, you're going to have to deal with them. Or infected thoughts. And I look at these as thoughts of, they are destructive to relationships. Even with our relationship with God. I have a friend, she struggles so much with that stuff. And Satan's always lying to her about who God is. God doesn't like me. What did I do so horrendous that I don't get well and everybody else is healed? These are just infected thoughts without the true word. I have to quit, don't I? Oh, my goodness. Okay, guys. So be careful what you think, believe, and say. Watch what tries to rule you. God's a rewarder. He will reward you when you pray. He will reward you when you meet with somebody to agree in prayer. He will reward you. Now, when we leave the lake on Labor Day, let me just close with this. Everybody who's loading their boat, somebody goes up for the trailer, and the boat does circles, and the sea-doo goes around like this and tries to tip over. One last fling. What should your last fling be this week? What do you want to do before Jesus comes? What do you need to take care of? Do you need to tell God that you love him? A man saw his daughters playing with the three little dolls, and he looks there. She's crying. He says, "Why are you crying?" She says, "I tell my dolls I love them all the time, but they never tell me that they love me." Let's bow our heads. Think about getting a gift when it's not your birthday. That's God. Mm-hmm. He gives good gifts. A gift is to be received. He paid for our sins. We believe and we receive. A gift of righteousness can't be earned. Would there be anybody here this morning who would say, "Man, I never made Jesus Lord of my life. I don't have a relationship with him. And I really want one because I need somebody to go home with me." Would you just raise your hand if there's anybody like that here today? Anyone? Let's pray. God, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for sending Jesus. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us, valuing us, and we value your voice. Change us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was awesome, Dori. Thank you so much. What a wonderful, wonderful message.